Everyone else is eating dirt. Okay, well, I don't want to. I like this other shitty thing. Speaking of shitty things, hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back. For whatever reason, for another Drunk and Dangerous. How is everybody? We are rapidly approaching Christmas. And I wish I could say that this, I keep clapping, I don't know why, probably because I'm high, per usual. I'm definitely not clapping for this story. Maybe I'm trying to slap some sense into myself. Because we're back to torture ourselves with more moon people. Really me. It's just me. Because you all get to observe. It's kind of like, it's like the jester shows of yesteryear, except you're just listening to me rage and rant. But maybe you're doing it too. I can't imagine you're listening to this and going, oh, she's completely overreacting. I wanted to hear about this 17 times. What is this, you ask? It's everything. Everything of any importance is repeated so fucking often, it becomes a goddamn meme. Okay? It's a meme at this point. And I'm ranting. And this is what we're all here for. We're not here for the story. No one's here for this. Oh, well, maybe you're here for the story. What the fuck? Ugh. Stop calling me junk. Sorry, I'm on my phone at the Kindle app, and I keep getting calls from Scam Likely. He just never stops. I would say at least, like, he would notice if I died, but no, he wouldn't. It would I never pick up anyway. And even then, it's just a robot. And the robots, they certainly don't care. I've seen Terminator. If anything, they want to kill us all. And really, reading this story, I can't even blame them. But yes, we are back. For more moon people. Because I hate myself. So, where we last left off, nothing fucking happened. They looked at the ship and went, ooh, wow, big ship. It's so huge. I haven't forgotten. That's what they all say, but it ain't huge, David. Oh, no. It is mighty small. But they just looked at the ship, and now they're taking a break. Boy, oh boy, looking at a big ship you might get for free is taxing work. And now they're resting to take a vote and be like, let's look at the ship. And then we're going to vote and be like, wow, which one are we going to take? And nobody really gives a shit because we're not there. But we get to hear about it. And that's, we really, nothing happened last time. I just need to stress that. Nothing happened. Nothing of worth or merit at all. And it'll probably continue. That's just generally, that's the plot. Nothing happens and everyone clapped. All right. Let's see. I have a bookmark here probably because I have no fucking clue where else this would be because I have to leave off in the middle of chapters now because they're so long, which is perplexing as nothing happens. But Paddington Essay can't help himself but repeat himself four times to make that word count. Really, really up there. He's got to make it. Got to do it for the grade. We've all been there, but I never considered, like, turning that into a novel. Just that concept. All right, so, yeah, they decided they didn't need to complete the moonship tour tonight. We can do some of the tour, then do the rest in about 12 hours after we all get some sleep. I mean, they have a pretty leisurely schedule there. It's like, why don't we just fuck around for a while, and then I guess we'll do this after we, like, chill for 12 hours? Like, yeah, it's not like you just terraformed Mars or anything. Just fuck around somewhere else looking at your free ships, I guess. Like, are you serious? Like, you dropped the animal feed, didn't you? You dropped it on Mars, and whatever the fuck is down there is excited to eat the tacos you gave it? Like, these are scientists in the great year of 2040 whatever. Let me guess, they graduated from Donald Trump's Science Academy for Moon People that was founded in the year of 2030. That's right, people, I'm psychic. I'm a psychic. Look, we all know we're in the dark timeline. Don't deny it. At this point, come on. You can't read any news and be like, yeah, this is it's going good. Like, shut the fuck up. Okay, I admire, ignorance really is bliss. I admire your abilities, but also, fuck you. You're not allowed. Okay, if misery loves company, if I have to be dreading the end of the world, so must you. Because, like, there's no, it's the worst kind of end of the world. It's like a slow burn. No, fuck you. I need to see this giant meteor heading toward me so I can go out on a giant boom of orgasmic pleasure. I need to know it's coming right then and there. But no, it's like, yeah, the world might end, I guess, but in like 100 years. So, like, it might be really shitty up until then, though, but like, you can't do anything about it. Like, fuck you. No. That's not a movie. Nobody makes that apocalypse movie. Or if they do, it's like, look at this dystopia. Ooh. But it's never like an apocalypse movie about the slow burn destruction of the earth. And that's the whole, well, it could be. But at the pace we're seeing it, it's not movie worthy. It's just sad. It's just sad. It might be a warning, but no one's going to heed it. No one that could do anything. Certainly not me. I can't do shit. So I just, everything I use is styrofoam. And I burn it when I'm done with it. Because fuck it. If we're going to go down, I'm going to go down flaming. In a big old ball of burning styrofoam. Because fuck the environment. Fuck it. If we all have to die, I might as well hasten it along, right? Like, come on. We're just waiting in line for the roller coaster, right? Well, if I could cut some people out of this line and go a little faster. You get where I'm coming from it. Great balls of styrofoam. All right. These people are just fucking about waiting to see how long it takes these tacos to kill the space animals. I guess I'm in a bit of a nihilistic mood today. I wasn't. But I started to read this story and suddenly I'm like, well, maybe. Maybe everything is pointless and we all live just to suffer. And we do. So, let's suffer on the moon. They always say moonship tour, but it's just because it looks like a moon to them, right? Like, it's not actually a moon. Stop fucking calling things moons that aren't moons. Please, for the love of God, words mean things. I mean, obviously not in this story, which could be very loosely called English. But it's Bremer English, so it's like English, but way shittier. But straight A's in Trump Academy. And that's why he's there in space. And who am I to say? They just terraformed Mars. So I never terraformed Mars, and my toilets aren't made of gold. So I clearly am no one to say. All right, so they were fucking around on the ship. And now they're taking a leisurely break, probably to look at their 5,600 cable stations that David Bremer loves. Before they go on the other ship, go, good thing we don't have to do our jobs. We could just dick around on this fucking ship. Like, why does everybody need to go on when the guy already said, your voice really doesn't mean anything, your vote really doesn't mean anything? Then, like, fuck you. Why are you just, like, waving this thing in front of my face, but you're basically like the oil companies being like, oh, you guys want to give us some tips on how we can improve? And they're like, haha, we won't do any of it though, but we'll like, we'll pretend we're listening. Like, okay, I see what you're doing. Fine. Fine, I see. All right. They were all, oh yeah, and they're all doing the hive mind thing. They were all looking out the big docking bay window at the huge moon ship just 200 yard away. 200 yard? What's the 200 yard? Who knows? It looked so breathtaking because Mars was behind the moon ship. Wow, what a visual. You guys, it's stunning. Can you picture it? I kinda can. But not because of anything you did, author. Then they all loaded on board the Kawaka shuttle. The big docking bay door opened and off they went. The minute they left from the docking bay on the Kawaka, period, the moon ship put its tracking beam on the shuttle and gently brought us. Us again? Us? It's always us. It brought us to the moon ship docking bay. Then a giant docking bay door opened on the moon ship. It pulled us in and set us down in a massive size docking bay. The docking bay is the word of the day. It also rhymes. Docking bay, word of the day. If you don't know what docking is, you should Google it. Docking. It's an erotic thing. Look it up. You won't regret it. Guarantee. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Massive size docking bay. It looked or reminded me of an airport on Earth. It was so big. Okay, Timmy, the 10-year-old. Poor brain-damaged man. There were two big docking bay doors. Were there? I didn't hear about it enough. One that opened so we could come in. Wow, really? He knows what doors are for, folks. Progress. And one door to seal the entire docking bay. Docking bay, docking bay. Don't play the docking bay drinking game unless you are already an alcoholic. After we came in, the outside door shut behind us, and then the inside door opened up to the docking bay area. Wow, just like he said. It was easily the size of 2-foot ball fields. See, here's the thing. It's 2-foot ball fields. It's 2-foot ball fields. It was easily the size of 2-foot ball fields. Thanks. It went through the middle of the ship. What a fucking pointless, fucking stupid ship. It also had a railway system. What is this, Disneyland? Throughout the ship that everyone traveled to get to one place to another. From one place to another, or to one place or another, no. Just smash them both together. Words are nothing. Smash, says David Braemar with his fucking toys, because he is a child. And there's a picture of what looks like the Death Star with... Yep, it just looks like you pasted the Death Star in here. There wasn't a lot of crew yet, and it did look empty. There was what looked like a skeleton crew, but not much more than that? Question mark? I don't know. You tell me. There were even about 10. Okay. This man can't think up an adjective to save his motherfucking life. There were even about 10 neat looking fighter crafts. Neat looking. They all looked brand new. Yeah, they're waiting to test them until they're attacked. I haven't even turned them on. They don't know if they have engines. Who knows? Whee! As everyone was unloading, skeet, 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 Captain Dopar escorted Admiral Benson and the rest of the new crew to the main lobby, where they took an air rail shuttle system to the bridge first so they could brief themselves and then go eat at one of the ship's restaurant. Why does your ship have a fucking restaurant? It's not a cafeteria, it's just a restaurant. For what? For travel purposes? For all the visitors you're going to be getting? Oh, Jesus Christ. Then they would go throughout the ship, learning about each of the individual stations, the buffet stations, for a couple of hours. Then they would go to whatever quarters they have already reserved for them. At the moment, there was only one restaurant that was in operation on board the Moonship. Red Lobster? Red Lobster, anyone? Because the Moonship is so huge, and we just have a skeleton crew on board presently. Wow, I forgot. I'm so dumb, just like David, I forgot. The restaurant they would be eating at was close to the docking bay. Don't take a drink. And the bridge. The kitchen could also send you your meal to your room, too. Oh, so they have room service. Fancy. Wow, it's just like living in a flying hotel. Like David always wanted. And when you leave, they just eject you into the cold death grip of space. I hope David leaves very quickly. But by going to the restaurant, they could talk over everything that they were learning and see more of the ship. The railway cars that went throughout the ship were very comfortable and also were very fast, too, as opposed to uncomfortable and slow, like old mine carts. What's the point? Everyone was really impressed. It was easy to tell the difference between the two ships, and it was the size. It's like, spot the differences, and one's 3 feet tall, and one's 6 feet tall, and he's like, guys, I got this. It's the size. Like, whoa. Everyone clapped. The moon ship was enormous. We haven't heard enough. We need to hear it more. There's a fucking restaurant on board. No ship. It's enormous. As they arrived at the bridge, they seen how huge the bridge was. Yeah, I hear there's a big size queen thing going on here. It was as big as two of the Kuwaka bridges, and we all know bigger is better. This is like a Texas idea right here. And the huge main viewer was all across the front wall. Hell, the bridge looked like it was a shopping mall back on Earth. And the main viewer looked like a drive-in theater screen. It was so big. Why is it so big? Why? I get it. Whoa, big. Wow, it neat looking. What's the point, though? Why do you need it that big? Like, okay, could I... if someone was saying, hey, where do you want to live? A reasonably sized house or 10,000 square foot mansion? I'd be like, look, a mansion sounds cool, but I'm not going to clean that much and I don't need that much fucking space. Why would I need a flying restaurant? Aren't I supposed to be terraforming Mars? Like, why? What is even the point of having this giant fucking flying space mall? When you're terraforming Mars. Aren't you there to terraform Mars, not get a free spaceship? I mean, okay, I'm no astronaut. I don't know why I think I have the right to an opinion when I've never gone to space. What was I thinking? And then there's some CGI rendering of a bridge, but if it's supposed to be this bridge, the theater screen does not look like a drive-in theater screen, and also there is no way that is the size of a mall. It just looks like the bridge from Star Trek again. They talked for a while and checked out the bridge, and then everyone headed to the restaurant where they all ate well. Everybody does everything together. All of them, the hive mind. It's weird as hell. You could get anything there that you could order on Earth. Oh, yeah, this is his fantasy. Wow, it sounds like being in heaven. Then everyone went to whatever station they were going to learn about, like being in elementary school. Well, a couple of hours went by, and then everyone went to their quarters in amazement. stunned by the size of the ship and how advanced it was. Specialist Parker took David to the quarters assigned to him and showed David everything there was to show about his new place and how everything worked. They talked some more about the moonship and had a couple of beers. So professional. They watched the end of the football game on their satellite TV. Wow, satellite TV. Nifty. Specialist Parker was telling the captain that everyone was going to meet on the bridge at 0600 and headed to his quarters. Any jacket? I bet he did. As David was checking his quarters out, even more after Specialist Parker left. Even more, you mean he stared even harder at the bed? He noticed how nice it was. Of course, it's for Admiral Fuckface David Jackoff. He's not an admiral, he's a captain, right? Yeah, fuck you, captain. Okay, hell, they are just like us, except for their size. They like luxury as much as we do. Yeah, everyone likes luxury. Some of the architecture was even more elaborate than ours on your ship. I think that the Admiral was right. I think the bigger moonship is better, too. Size queen, I said it. David watched a little more of the TV and then checked out the surface of Mars on the ship computer. David's seen... Someone needs to tell this man that the word saw exists. Someone needs to tell him. David's seen that it was still going to take more time for the planet to defog. Everything seemed to be changing colors from red to brown. What was clearing up looked great. Other than the planet having to defog, there was still a lot of storms on the surface. It's just going to have to take more time for the sun to do its thing. Maybe when I wake up tomorrow, the storms will be totally settled on Mars. Wow, wouldn't that be cool? David, you write like me in middle school talking to my fucking diary that I kept for 3 days because I can't stick to shit. But seriously, you talk like a child. And he is not, ladies and gentlemen, fully grown adult, might I remind you. I have to keep reminding myself because it's almost unbelievable. And yet, here we are. Then David turned off his computer and then went ahead and went to bed. He didn't have to worry about losing gravity on board this ship. It had it all. Including a stable gravity. David was so tired that he went right to sleep. Over in the Admiral's quarters, the Admiral was in deep thought about the ship he was going to pick. We don't need to hear it anymore. We know you're going to pick the moonship. You keep talking about how great it is. But he was pretty sure he was going to pick the moonship, though. We all fucking know. The more he thought about it and the more he had seen the moonship, the more he liked it better because of the massive size. Look, dude, I said Size Queen is a joke, but you're starting to really play it up here. He just felt that way. When we're off in some other galaxy, the bigger the ship, the more comfortable it would be. And this ship was as big as a small city. Hell, it would be like taking a small city to another galaxy. I like that. Admiral Benson, lying in his bed, had made his choice. It was the moonship. I love that he's thinking, I like that, to his own thoughts. It's good to know that even in my mind, I'm more intelligent than this man. I like that. It's like a small city. What about fuel? What's fuel? It's fueled by my imagination. He was going to listen to what everyone else was saying, but he was pretty sure about his choice. Yeah, because he just brought him there to brag. Then the Admiral said, "Computer, lurking. Computer, turn on the view screen and focus on the planet Mars."
Affirmative.
The view screen came on. Mars looked a little clearer. "We just fucking heard about the fucking status of Mars, you little shit. We don't gotta know that." The Admiral also looks at it and comes to the same fucking conclusion. "Paddington motherfucking essay. We need to hear about any of this. Any of this. But we will, because you're, for someone who wrote 3 books, your imagination is very sparse." Mars looked a little clearer, but it still had a lot of violent storms and a lot more clearing to go. Did you remember? 2/3 of the planet was still covered with gray, stormy weather. Although the 1/3 of Mars that was clear was looking really good, and most of the red color was almost gone, and what we could see? I can't see shit. I just see a disappointing, pathetic excuse for a so-called book. It's really just wish fulfillment, and it ain't even good at that. Boo! A boo on you for making me read this stupid thing again. Let me guess, he's gonna think, "Whoa, there's storms. I don't like that." Storms so huge. Most of the red color was almost gone, and what we could see, it was starting to look just like Earth. Just like that, folks. That's all it takes. The computer was showing a few more life forms. Sea monkeys really springing to life. "Well, it's still going to take more time. Maybe I should go to sleep and get a good night's sleep. Oh, I keep forgetting it's day all the time out here. It's only been a few years since we started building the lunar bases in space. I guess I should have said another 8 hours sleep." Oh, so he's talking out loud. That's weird. "I still can't believe all of this, and yet it's happening right in front of me. It all seems like a fantasy movie." No, a fantasy movie would be better written. Then the Admiral shut his eyes, and he was out. 2 minutes later, the view screen turned off by the computer, just like a butler. "No, it's like a computer going to sleep because you haven't been using it. For a certain amount of time, it's not your robot butler, you fucking dork." "Oh, thanks, Windows. It's just like my butler." No, it's not. I swear to God, if you tell me you have a robot butler and it's because your computer idles after a while and turns on the screensaver, I am going to fucking beat your ass. David. Everyone slept like a baby on his or her first night on board. Wow, what an elegantly crafted sentence. Everyone slept like babies, irrespective of his or her genitalia. Amazing. Just like baby butlers. About 8 hours went by, and the computer started waking everyone up. And they started having coffee and breakfast. All of them? Not everyone likes coffee. Come on. They all had to meet on the bridge at 0600, and it was 0500. So they took their time and got ready for the meeting. David couldn't wait to check out the moonship's computer. And David said, "Computer, working." David said, "Turn on the view screen." Oh yeah, he's a stupid voice.
"Turn on the view screen."
Fuck you, asshole.
Affirmative.
When the view screen came on, he couldn't believe his eyes. Mars was about 75% clear, and it looked a lot like Earth. Yeah, you fixed it immediately. Magic. It was a beautiful sight to see, and he couldn't wait to show everyone else. They have eyes. And computers. They've seen it. You're not showing anyone anything. They're all also on the same ship you are, doofus. He's the one who's like, "Look, guys, it's bigger. Did you see?" I see the difference. Like, we all have, yes. Oh my God. There were lakes and rivers and normal-looking thunderstorms. It was literally coming back to life again. He's like God, y'all. It's just how it works. There were sea monkeys ready to populate. They're fucking. Mars is like, bam, I'm Earth now. It's magic. David's like, Jesus. This is better than I ever expected. We lucked out and did just the one thing that Mars needed to be reborn, and now Mars is alive again. Wow, there's even more life forms, about double what it was. This is so cool, and I did it. Unbelievable. Jack yourself off harder, dude. Your dick's not, like, fucking covered in blisters and obviously, like, what the fuck, dude? How do you not know how you did it? Then Specialist Parker came to David's quarters. David told Specialist Parker what he had seen on the view screen, and Parker thought that it was incredible. They were both very excited about it and decided to head to the bridge. They went to the end of the hallway and got on the shuttle car railway system. Before you knew it, they were at the bridge. As they were walking in, they noticed they were not the only ones there. His pilot and co-pilot, Lieutenant Fisher and Lieutenant Parsons, were already on the bridge. They were laughing when they seen the captain come in. They said, "Good morning," to David and Specialist Parker. David put a smile on his face. He's not really happy. He's just pretending. And asked, "What are you guys laughing about?" The pilot, Lieutenant Tawny Fisher, said, "Is Tawny a girl or a guy? I don't remember. I guess it's a girl." "Sir, we were laughing about the fact that Lieutenant Courtney had to go to the observatory all along last night." All along? Or alone? I'm guessing it's alone, but she says along. "All along, you had to go to the observatory, you fucking loser. We knew it all along." Then David started laughing and said, "Oh, yes, I remember. I wouldn't hold that against him." With a smile on his face. He's saying, "I wouldn't hold that against him," with a smile on his face, like in quotes. Because the sentence is, "I wouldn't hold that against him," with a smile on his face. I'm guessing he's saying he wouldn't hold it against him, and David had a smile on his face, but you already told us he had a smile on his face. It's okay, I'm holding it together, you guys. I can do this. "I think he's a pretty good guy." The two lieutenants said, "Oh, we know, we like him too." Like, why are they speaking in unison? "But I guess we were just having fun playing hard to get, sir." And they started laughing. Ha 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 ha. David started laughing. Oh shit, they're girls. Oh God, that makes it worse. They're talking in unison as girls because... Ugh. "Very good, ladies. Keep up the good work." The girls both started laughing some more. "Ah ha ha ha," and said, "Yes, sir." Now, Specialist Parker was still relatively a young lad. And some of the ladies might say he was a very handsome man. Handsome is spelled H-A-N-S-O-M. Like a handsome cab. He's a handsome man. It's even underlined where I can see that it's trying to tell him he fucked it up. But he just left the underlining of the program telling him fix this in the book. So beautiful, thank you for underlining the improper sentence. It's all of it, by the way. The whole book needs it. Both of the lieutenants were giving Parker quit a smile. The sexism in these books is like every woman exists to be fucked by one of the men on board. This is not your hentai protagonist story, sir, but no, it is for him. Everyone aboard is young, nubile, and eager to fuck you. Yes, there are moms and single moms in your area who are desperate for that. Dick end or a pussy, who knows? It could be true. It's more likely than this. Anyway, they're checking him out like, oh, can't wait to fuck. Parker said to Lieutenant Fisher, hi, I'm Specialist Parker. I'm going to be a part of your crew. A part. He's going to be apart from them. From here on out, it's my job to show you all around the moonship. I know this ship pretty well, so if you girls have any questions about the ship, don't hesitate to call me. I'll be your chaperone of the ship. What the fuck does that even mean? I'm also on the computer. What is that? Are you sitting on it like a cat? What does that mean? You use the computer? We all do. I would love to show you girls. Can you stop calling them girls? That's, I mean, I'm not going to go, okay, boys, come on, boys. Like, that's fucking rude. You're men. But whatever, they're girls. I'd love to have you girls on my dick, he said. Ha ha, like, come on, we all know. We all know that's why he's like, come on, I'll show you to my quarters. They were like, ha ha, what's the brain? Anyway, if you girls have a chaperone, and I'm also on the computer like a cat seeking a warm spot. I would love to show you girls the entire dick, I mean ship. Both of them seemed very excited and said, okay, we would love that too. And started smiling real big. They're going to eat him. Like praying mantis ladies, they fuck him and they rip his head off. Then Parker said, hey, maybe you can bring Lieutenant Courtney along. He sounds like a cool guy. I'll take everybody out to eat. We can watch a movie or something when you get moved in. What is this, double dating? We're fucking doing a job, you psycho. Oh my God. Watching old movies was something everyone was into because of two reasons. One, there wasn't a whole lot to do. The other reason was everybody had very large TV monitors in their homes. They just liked it. Like that, for entertainment. And it was the in thing. Wow, the in thing. Well, if everyone's doing it, I better play along. Especially for those who didn't like the bar scene and a lot of drinking all the time. Then the girls said, that sounds great. Suddenly the bridge door opened and in walked Admiral Benson and Admiral Baker, Captain Dopar, his assistant, and also a Dr. Moon. Everyone was in a deep discussion about the ship. It was all positive. The Admiral looked like he was in love, and it was the moon ship. He's gonna fuck that porthole. Then the Admiral said, good morning to everyone. Then addressed everybody and said, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the million-dollar question. Which ship did you like the best? I want you all to be totally honest with me, because none of this matters. This is very important. Ladies first. Well, they started with Lieutenant Fisher, and basically they all said the same thing the Admiral said, that the bigger, the better it is. Size queens. Men and women, they're just like, stretch my hole. Sorry. They all said they feel safer in the bigger ship, too. Which made sense. S-I-N-C-E. It made sense. The Kowaka ship was by no means small, but the moon ship was enormous. Do you think? Could you remember? I wasn't sure, but then they said. Then the Admiral said, well, then it's unanimous. We chose the moon ship, if that's okay with you, Admiral Baker. Yes, it is. It doesn't really matter to me. Because one ship is newer and one ship is bigger. Either way, we win. I can't wait to take possession of either one, Admiral, because after we take possession, we will be headed to Pluto's moons. Then Admiral Benson said, well, sir, you are now the proud owner of the Kowaka ship. We are the proud owner of the moon ship. It suddenly hit me. We have to name our new ship. Until we do, we will just call her the Moonship. Admiral Baker thanked Admiral Benson and headed for his new ship, the Kawaka. He was in a hurry to exit the area and go on his mission. Wow, he likes to work weird. Then I guess we need to split the crews of the Lunar Base 1 for our new crew on board here. I'm going to put Commander Tice in command of the Lunar Base 1. Commander Kraft can be my second in command on the Moonship. Now then, as of now, why don't every... Okay, what is this sentence, sir? Now then, as of now, why don't everyone go back to the Little Bitch 1 and get ready for the move? Why don't everyone? You've seen it all. Captain Bramer, why don't you get back to your Mars project? I know that's what you want to do anyway. For the day, I really don't care where everyone works. Today can be here or on the Little Bitch 1. But for now, why don't everybody go back? That needs to. We will get everything in order. We need everyone's quarters to be assigned to them in a little while. We will get back in touch with everybody on this sometime within the next 4 hours. Everyone agreed. Ha ha. All right, I'll go a little bit into this next chapter. Meet Your New Neighbors, Chapter 4. Specialist Parker told everybody that the shuttle would be leaving at 0900. Since we are the only shuttle this morning, they will not leave until everyone is ready that's going. Captain Bramer spoke up.
Admiral, have you seen the surface of Mars this morning?
No, I haven't. To be honest, I was so busy with the picking of the Moonship, I plumb forgot, 'cause he's 1,000 years old. Why, what's it look like, Captain? Oh, good, nobody else is paying attention.
Well, sir, it looks better than anything I ever thought it would be. Sir, you have to see this for yourself.
A view screen picture is... Oh, yeah, he's still talking.
A view screen picture's worth 1,000 words, sir.
Everyone was... I'm choking on my hate of this. Everyone was in suspense. David said,
Computer, turn on the main view screen and focus on the entire planet of Mars.
You could just say Mars, I'm pretty sure it knows.
Affirmative.
That second, the huge view screen came on. You could see that Mars was just like Earth now. Wow, it's that easy. Set it and forget it. Mars edition. Everyone was awed. You know, in awe. They couldn't believe it and said along, Wow. It's long. They all said it, Wow. Then David said,
They're double the life forms too, sir.
They were fucking around. The Admiral jaw dropped and said, That's incredible, Captain. Then the Admiral repeated what he had said. That's is so incredible. So first he said, that's incredible. And then he said, that's is so incredible. Hypoxia setting in. Really, those brain cells are suffering. Well done. Everyone else that was standing there in awe said, unbelievable. Mars was looking fantastic now. Everyone just stood in amazement and stared at the view screen and commented on how beautiful Mars was and stroked David's dick harder. Then suddenly, the Admiral receives a communique from Admiral Baker. He said, Great job on Mars. I heard this is a David jack-off party and I'm here to join. We had a great look when we were shuttling back to Kawaka. It was an incredible view. Also, Admiral Baker said he was ready to depart and wanted to say his farewell. Admiral Benson wished him good luck, and off he went. He drifted away from our shifts on half impulse to keep the radiation down close to the other ships, and then you could see him pick up speed. Then one big flash of light, and he was gone. How fast is he traveling, then? He just drifted away and died. We could all wish. You know, Commander, the Admiral said, every time I see that, I fall in love with you. Captain, did you check the air quality on the surface?
No, sir. I was going to do that as soon as we got situated wherever we were going to work for the day, sir.
Stop, sir, sandwiching him. Jesus. Very good, Captain. Specialist Parker spoke up. Okay, everybody. Don't forget, the shuttle will start transporting people from ship to ship about 0900 hours today. Then everyone talked a little while and headed to the docking bay lounge to wait to load. Specialist Parker was really getting to know Lieutenant Fisher and Lieutenant Parsons. They were all getting along really well. Finally, they started loading the shuttle base and headed back to the Lunar Base 1. Once they arrived back, David went right to the bridge. He'd seen everyone was watching the main viewer in awe. David went right over to his station and he turned on all of his instruments. There were several messages from the Mars base. Everyone was very excited. They said the oxygen levels were more than good. Of course they were. God, David made everything happen. Everybody was talking about all of the life forms. They were getting too anxious to go outside without air suits. My high ass were that as fur suits at first. I'm like, what in the kinky shit? We should do some more studies first. Oh, wait, I don't know who the fuck is supposed to be, the Admiral? But I'm kind of anxious myself, so I really can't fault them. Let's get started. Lieutenant Courtney, I need you to send a communique to the Mars base. First, tell them good morning from me. Then, tell them to let me verify your data. Then if it looks good from up here, they could test their breathing outside the dome. I just want to make sure there is not some kind of poisonous gas in the air that we do not know about. Very good, sir, replied Lieutenant Courtney. Then David went at it. He didn't stop for a couple of hours. That's not typical for David. The air was showing that it was as clear and pure as our Earth's, maybe even better, because Jesus David does everything perfect. My God, we did it. Lieutenant Courtney, contact the shuttle bay. Tell them they can drop that food on the surface anytime they are ready. And tell them to drop the food at the designated... They don't even know what animal it is. Okay. At the designated areas I've already picked out for them. Also, tell them good luck. Lieutenant answered, yes, sir, Captain. Also, Lieutenant, contact the Mars base and put them on the main viewer. The main viewer came on and it was Major Becky Stevens. Can any of these women have, like, not Rebecca Stevens? She goes by Becky? And her associates. Hello, Major, Captain Bramer said. I've been checking the stats, and everything's looking great up here. Even the temperature's 82 degrees. It looks beautiful. I will leave this call up to you.
Thank you, Captain, the Major said. We have a volunteer right here. His name is Sergeant Mike Bishop. He keeps joking, saying that we always wanted him to be the guinea pig, and it's spelled Ginny, like G-I-N-N-Y. Capitalized like a name, the Ginny Pig. We always wanted him to be the Ginny Pig, because we don't like his cooking. David started laughing.
I hope all of you are going to video this for historic archives.
Yes, sir, answered the Major. We have a video inside and out.
Sergeant Bishop was putting on his air suit. They were putting his helmet on. Before you knew it, he was in the pressure airlock room with his two helpers. Helpers? Which is nothing more than saying the front door.
It's
It's a little more than that, you stupid shit. It's like the front door of the ship. Oh my fuck. Then out they went. He stood in front of the camera outside the dome. He checked all of his instruments. The two helpers were going to stand next to the sergeant when he takes his helmet off. Sergeant Bishop said, "Everything is showing nothing but beautiful oxygen. People are really horny for this oxygen. Okay, here goes. Man's first breath of air on Mars." He took his helmet off. Then he took a deep breath and his head exploded. No, we all wish. And said, "Man, this smells like fresh oxygen after a rain shower." Fresh oxygen after a rain shower? It's actually very specific. Like, chemical. Okay, whatever. There's a reason it smells like that, and it's not the fresh oxygen, but cool. "This smells fantastic." Then he started taking off his oxygen suit. I'm guessing he's getting naked. He's going to streak. First streak around Mars. First dick helicopter on Mars. When he got done, he said, "See, it's just like Earth now," and laughed for joy. "Except my bitch ex-wife isn't here." Then his buddies took their suits off. Then everyone in the dome came out without a suit, and they left the airlock wide open, and nobody was just like, I don't know, waiting to see if, like, the effects of Mars impacted him later. Like, wouldn't you have somebody come out and breathe and then come back in and, like, see how it affected his system? No, you're all just going to go out there because he didn't die instantly. All of you are going, okay. These are scientists. They were all jumping around and having fun, and David was so amazed. Everyone on the bridge was shouting and celebrating. He couldn't believe that he was going to get credit for this. I can. You get credit for everything. Boy, oh boy, I hope things keep going our way. Now we can colonize Mars. Lieutenant Courtney, give me ship to ship. I want to talk to Admiral Benson. Okay, I'm going to leave it there because I can't deal with any more of David's jacking himself off over Mars. I'm amazed they all went outside and decided that it was fine. And now they've all breathed the atmosphere. One can only wish that it will kill them. I'm sure it won't because Jesus, David, made the planet, so of course it's perfect. Breathing the air will probably somehow make you younger and hotter because David did it. He's getting credit for all of it. Trust me. Anyway, I can't even say bless Jesus, David, because fuck him. Fuck him up the ass for making me continue to read this terrible story, which was basically even more obvious wish fulfillment than before. So, you know, well done. It's even worse. And we'll continue to get worse after that. Hopefully you will join me for my further descent into madness as we continue to read this terrible book in heavy quotation marks. And hopefully you will be my helpers and join me back next time. And hopefully I will see you there. Until then, I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Mwah! Bye.